Okay, 2 Corinthians 5. We read here, he's talking here about being at home in heaven or being here on earth in the first couple of verses. He says, our house is in heaven and our dwelling, verse 2, is in heaven. But now we are absent from the Lord, verse 6, here on earth. So, verse 9, he says, whether we are at home in heaven one day or absent from heaven right now on earth, our ambition remains the same. It doesn't change. And that ambition is to be pleasing to the Lord. Not to impress people with our knowledge or to be a great preacher or any such thing, but to be pleasing to the Lord in every single aspect of our life. You see, this is, you think of that in connection with the Father from heaven sending Jesus as a baby to the earth. And from the moment that Jesus understood, came to age of understanding, whatever age that is with children, from that moment onwards, right up to the age of 30, in every single situation, he sought to please the Father. And that's why he got the certificate at the end of his life, not end of his life, when he went into the River Jordan to be baptized, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That is the greatest certificate you can get from God. If God can say that, I mean, I've longed for that all the time. Many times I pray to the Lord, Lord, can you say that about me? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. If you can't say that, I mean, all my life is worthless. All my ministry is worthless. I want you to say that. I don't care what men think about me, but I want you, Father, to say that. I pray that will be the passion of every one of your lives. Say, Lord, at any cost, whatever price I have to pay, I want you to be able to say that about me every day of my life. I'm well pleased with you. I'm well pleased with the way you conducted yourself today. I'm well pleased with the way you reacted in that difficult situation. I'm well pleased with the way you handled money in that situation, or the way you wrote that letter to somebody, or the way you spoke to that person on the phone. I'm well pleased with you. I'm well pleased with you. It has to be our ambition. Ambition is a great word for young people. We always want our young people to have ambition, not drift along without any ambition. And here we read that word ambition. It's good to have ambition if it's the right type of ambition. Paul said, I have an ambition. And even though he had a great passion to preach the gospel everywhere, that was not his ambition. Some people, their great passion is to spread the gospel everywhere. Very good, but that's not the highest thing. If Jesus' greatest ambition was to preach about the Father and to spread the good news everywhere, he would not have wasted 30 years in his home. Peter left home when he was 12, when he knew the scriptures, and started out preaching so much that he knew. He didn't do that. There are a lot of people who go out as missionaries and a passion that is born in their mind, in their soul, or because they see a need somewhere. Jesus never acted on the basis of need. Please remember this. It sounds very nice. So there's a need there. Let me go and meet it. If Jesus had acted on that basis, he would have been restless because there was a need all over the world. Yet he stayed in his entire life. He stayed within that small country of Israel, which is about the size of one of the smallest states in the United States. That's where he lived all his life. He had the same lust and passions we are tempted by, the ambition to travel, to see places, but he never yielded to it. He would not have sinned if he had taken a holiday in Rome, but he didn't go there because it was not in his Father's will. His ambition was not to go here and there, or even not even to preach the gospel, which sounds very nice. His ambition was to please the Father, and whatever the Father, and the only way to please the Father was to hear what the Father said and to do it. That is why it is so important. I kept stressing this many times. The most important thing is to hear the Father speaking. You have to develop the habit of hearing God speaking to us. The first chapter of the Bible is full of, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said for 6 days. And whenever God said something, something happened. And it's the same today. Whenever God speaks something, something happens. And that's why it's so important for us to hear God speaking. And if you have had a few experiences of God speaking in your life, something really happens. I've had a few experiences like that of God speaking, and you see the result of it in different situations. Long, long with all your heart to hear God speaking to your heart. He speaks even today. That's the message in the first chapter of the Bible. All the days of the week, he speaks. There's not a single day he doesn't speak. And the seventh day, they sat and listened to him the whole day Adam and Eve spent with him. So God speaks 7 days a week. And we must hear him. That's why he said to Martha, when she was so busy, had no time to listen to Jesus, was busy serving. Jesus said to her, Martha, you're worried about so many things, but you have neglected the one thing needful. And I believe, perhaps, if you have ears to hear, the Lord is saying that to some of you. You're busy doing many good things. Martha was not doing anything evil. She was doing a very selfless thing, cooking food for Jesus and the disciples. And you can be doing many good things, but like they say in the world, the good is the enemy of the best. And the best is, Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part to sit at my feet and listen to my word. Now, humanly speaking, if you went into that home and you saw Mary just sitting and listening and Martha slogging away and perspiring in the kitchen, you would have thought, maybe I would have thought that way too. Martha is so unselfish to work so hard to make food for the others. But Jesus had a completely different opinion. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, Mary may look as if she's selfish sitting here and listening. But that is the most important thing. Because what you do without listening to God is worthless. It's just your own bright ideas. I've seen in all these years of my Christian experience that the Christian world is full of clever people who got bright ideas as to how they should serve the Lord. Martha had a bright idea to go and work in the kitchen, but it was not God's will. Some of your bright ideas are not the will of God. They're just your own bright ideas. I've had bright ideas myself, and I found nothing came of it. I wasted many years following my own bright ideas, not doing evil things, trying to do the Lord's work. You know that saying which C.T. Studd said, only one life, and it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. You probably heard it. Only one life, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I've changed that. I say only what Christ does through me will last. There are a lot of people doing many things for Christ. It will not last because it is not in the will of God. Multitudes of workers, a lot of Christian work done for Christ. All that's done for Christ will last? No. I'm sorry, C.D. Studd, I don't agree with you. But I understand his spirit must have been right, even if he expressed it not exactly accurately. The accurate way would be, only what Christ does through me will last. In other words, what I listen and do, that will last. If you can understand this, I believe you live the most worthwhile life that you can ever live on this earth. So, excuse me. We have as our ambition to be pleasing to the Father. And it doesn't make a difference whether we are in heaven or on earth. And that's the way I've looked at it. How will it be in heaven? I will not have any ambition there except to please the Father. I will have no ambition to get something for myself or gain something or get a name for myself or any of these stupid things that tempt us on earth. It will be only to please the Father. I'm sure it will be like that for you as well when we get to heaven. We'll have no other ambition. The point Paul says here is, it's exactly the same for me, he says, when I'm here on earth. In other words, the direction I'm going is not going to change one bit when Christ comes. It's going to be the same direction, no deflection this way or that way. Pleasing the Father, finding out what is pleasing to Him, doing it, and continuing in the same direction. Ask yourself, my brother, sister, if Christ comes today, will you be going the same direction as you're going right now? Only wanting to hear what the Father wants you to do and to please Him. And don't think your bright ideas of even sacrificial service. You know, I've spoken much about sacrifice, and we can think, oh, I'm sacrificing. There are a lot of sacrifice, which is stupid. There are a lot of non-Christians who sacrifice so much thinking of they will please the Father like that. There are many Roman Catholics who travel on pilgrimages to Lourdes and different places, sacrifice, spend a lot of money. But it's not going to have any worth when Christ comes again. So sacrifice is good, but that's not the main thing. We must have a willingness to sacrifice. But what we have to sacrifice is not money or time. What we have to sacrifice is our own will, which makes a choice as to what we should do. That's what we should sacrifice. Lord, I'm a clever person with bright ideas as to what I can do to serve you. I've got to sacrifice that. And if you sacrifice that, you're making the right sacrifice. And say, Lord, I want to do what pleases you. Because when we appear at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, every one of us is going to be rewarded. This is an absolute certainty for all of us. We're going to be rewarded according to what we did. And then it says whether good or bad. And I don't believe we are doing bad things. I have faith in all of you. I don't believe any of you are doing bad things. Not even accidentally. But it's a question of what you mean by bad. In the context, I see it like this. If I have not sought the Father's will, if I have not said, Lord, I have a longing to know what you want me to do, if I'm not in touch with God so that the Holy Spirit can prompt me in different situations, what I think is good may be bad. You know, young people have ambitions. It's good to have ambition, good to work hard, good to work hard so that, particularly in the competitive world we are in, to graduate, get a degree, and find a good job. Excellent. But I would, beyond all that, I would say, you do all that, sure. But I would say to our young people, seek to find the will of God for your life. Seek to find out what God wants you to do from early in life. Seek to find out, when you come to marriageable age, seek to find out whom God wants you to marry. Let that be the passion of your life. I'm not preaching what I've not practiced. And then you'll have a very, very fruitful life. You'll have a fruitful marriage. I've seen a lot of Christians who just do what they think is good. They find some believer and say, okay, I'll go ahead and marry that person. And okay, they don't divorce or anything, but that's not all we are to do. Our testimony at the end of our life should not be, I never divorced my wife. That's crazy. There are non-Christians who have that testimony. Our testimony should be that as a family, we glorified you and fulfilled your will. So, at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll discover that bad is not our earthly definition of bad today, like adultery and murder and theft. No, 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 no. We'll discover at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, that bad is where I did not seek God's will.